Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
All right, enough about me. Taping this on Monday afternoon, right? I'm going backwards here. I just taped the interview, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And I enjoy it. It was a good one. Hopefully, the sound was a little... It's with Dani Bostic, who has a blue check mark next to her name, 22,000 Twitter followers. I'm not really sure what she does, but she was outspoken sort of against... or for the removal of the statue for Kate Smith, who sang "God Bless America." I'll get that whole story in a minute. I'm a little, frankly, still a little shaken up. Over the news from my pal Gary Tangway, a couple hours ago, tweeted out that he's in the middle of fighting non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. As we're going to Brigham and Women's here, and you know, I talked to Tangway fairly frequently. And he never mentioned it to me. And I've talked to a couple of other people who he knows well and works with, and he never mentioned it to them either. And I can only suppose that, you know, he's an old school TV guy. He's an old school main guy. Whereas the opposite of me, who comes on like I did, you know, Friday and fucking weeps and cries and blah, 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 poor me. You know, he just kept his head down and did it. It's treatable. He said in his little minute-long thing, Gary Tangway, if you're listening, if you're a new listener, is a television broadcaster in Boston, the NBC affiliate there. But for me, and I think a lot of listeners to this podcast, he was a sparring partner of mine on TV, and then I brought him over to EEI, where we did shows together in the morning. He filled in a lot. He and I did shows together, and, you know, when it was fun, when it was good, there is nobody I've ever worked with ever who I had more fun with than Gary, ever. Nobody's even close for second place. you know, with his chemistry, which we had, we just had it, and we'd have it if we did a show tomorrow, which I would love for Gary to be part of the show going forward a little bit. I don't know if he'll want to be. I've talked to him about it. He's, you know, I thought was being sort of dismissive at the time, and now I realize was going through this stuff. I feel like a fucking idiot. But I love him, you know, and you know, I've always loved him, and I love him a lot, and I'm just thinking about him here as he battles this. He's, you know, I can't say enough about Gary. He's self-deprecating. He's not afraid to say anything. He's not afraid to get picked on. He's not afraid, you know, he's funny. He's, you know, he's stupid, but in a great way. And like I said, he's by far the person I most enjoyed working with and had the most fun with when it was good. He could be lazy. That would drive us nuts. But even that was kind of funny. And I missed him a lot. And not having him in my old job in the last year was made things a little tougher for me, because I always, when he was there, was always somebody that would make me feel better, you know, and not having him around hurt. Yeah, so I'm thinking of Gary here as he battles this, and I'm sure I'll talk to him, and hopefully maybe he'll come on here and give us an update on how he's doing. But, you know, he's a tough guy. Like, you know, we give him a lot of shit, but he's a tough guy. And he's got a great family. And, yeah, it just sort of, I'm still a little rattled by it a couple hours later, but I'm thinking of him a lot here today. So, you know, this Kate Smith story is interesting to me. And the way these stories are always interesting to me. So, you know, the whole story, I'm sure by now, if you don't, she is a singer from the 20s, 30s, 40s, who sang her version of God Bless America would play at the Flyers games and would play in Yankee Stadium, you know, for years, her version of Irving Berlin's God Bless America. Long, huge career in television and radio, had her own shows, had her statue in Philly. I think it started playing in like the late 60s, early 70s when the Flyers were really gotten rolling. They would play it, and then they played it forever. And like I said, they put the statue in front of it there. She sang it the seventh inning stretch at Yankee Stadium. They played it from 2009 until, you know, a few weeks ago. So it became this controversy on YouTube, surface videos of her singing That's Why Darkies Were Born. Pickaninny Heaven, I think, is the name of the other song. And I mean, you know, listen, these are songs that would never be released today. They were not written by Kate Smith. It's been described, by the way, the one that's really got her in trouble, That's Why Darkies Were Born, I mean, Jesus, is a, some say, satirical view of racism. Some black performers have sung it as well, and think of it that way. Kate Smith was outspoken in her life against racism, very religious person. Did a lot of work in World War II, schlepping around for the troops. I mean, raised a lot of money in World War II. You know, lived a life where nobody, and I spent a lot of time, as I tell our guest here in a minute, a lot of time over the weekend reading about her. Never saw a word of anyone suggesting that she was a racist. Never any of that stuff attached to her. So now this video comes out, and here comes the mob, right? The mob that we deal with all the time. The unspoken Twitter, social media mob. And here's all they want to do. This is all they want to do, right? Pretty simple. Is take a dead woman who can't defend herself against a lifetime of good and brand her forever as a racist because she recorded a song in 1931. That's when the song was released. 1931, coming up on 90 years ago. I'd say the world's changed since then. But all they want to do now is say that she's, you know, ruined her life, ruined her legacy. And now when you talk about Kate Smith, the word racist will come up, which some people say, oh, the mob, it doesn't, who gives a shit? No big deal. I know I take that personally. I know others take that personally. And now Kate Smith forever and ever will be known as a racist and a racist only, which to me is fucking crazy. And as I've experienced personally, and I've seen other people experience, the real fault is not all really even with the mob, though hate them I do, though assholes they are. The real problem is, you know, as it turns out, the New York Yankees and the Flyers. The Flyers have removed that statue. It's gone now. And the Yankees won't play the song during seventh inning stretch anymore, and the Flyers, gone. So they have bowed. They have gotten on their hands and knees and licked away because they don't want to take any shit from, you know, this pathetic fucking mob of extreme left-wing lunatics who don't even care. They don't even give a shit. They don't actually care. They're not, of course, offended. But what they want is a victory. So they got another one. So there's Kate Smith. They can dump on her grave, take a fucking nice, healthy dump on it, and move on to the next one. And move on they will. Believe me, by the end of this week or next week, there'll be somebody else. And by the way, you want to go back in history 90 years? If this is the baseline, if this is the baseline of racism, then good luck. As I say to my guest here coming up in a moment, I'll tell you what I'm having on. If we're really going to be serious about this, George Washington had slaves. And I have to look up the book. I think it's called Runaway Slave. Owen the Judge was a slave's name. The Washingtons had her. She escaped. And they spent years and years and years trying to hunt her down and bring her back. I think that's worse than Kate Smith. How about Thomas Jefferson, who people say, oh, romance the slave and have a child with her. I'm sure that slave was really into having sex with Thomas Jefferson. You know what he did to her? He raped her. How about reexamining him? Schools are named after him. Money is named, dollar bills after Washington, colleges, neighborhoods, high schools, Mount Rushmore. I mean, at what point do we start doing this? Where as opposed to saying, you know what, this is history, it's fucked up. These are people who did a lot of good, but they're also really flawed human beings. Let's leave this picture of a person or a fucking statue of this person up here. And so we're standing up and looking at it. We can actually have a conversation and just say, hey, you know what? Here's this guy. Here's George Washington. He was a general, pretty good general, fairly effective, I would say. First president of the United States, fairly significant figure. Oh, by the way, did some really fucking awful things. Oh, what did he do, Dad? Oh, well, Junior, he did this. Have the talk, then move on, as opposed to getting rid of it and never having that conversation. Just drives me fucking bananas. It really does. This time in history is nuts. Totally nuts. Like, when I saw this thing first break, I said, well, you know, they'll remove that statue by Tuesday. I was wrong. I think they got rid of it this morning, because this is what they do now. They just say, okay, yep, we don't want to deal with it either. Let's make it go away. So I looked around this weekend to see if anybody had any real opinions the other way, because I knew where I stood on it. And Danny Bostic, at Danny Bostic, DannyBostick, is on Twitter. She's verified. You want to look her up. You want to follow her. Is extremely left-wing, and she disagrees with me. She thinks the removal of it is great. She attempts to explain why. Her volume's a little low. This is a Moroso challenge. Let's see if we can crank that up, Mark, as we welcome her on Enough About Me. And I'd also say, a lot of feedback. People do not like the no music intro, Moroso. So, I don't know. I almost want to leave this in your hands and let you come up with something different and see what the people think. So, we'll do that. Tomorrow, by the way, Tuesday, keep an eye on my world here on social media. It smells like a potentially very interesting day as well. As we continue to move on here, as Danny Bostic joins me on Enough About Me. All right, it was a couple of firsts here on Enough About Me. It's the first guest I've had who we have some dog concerns about in the background, which is fine. I don't mind. I'm an animal lover. And secondly, I think this, I would have to say, Danny, that I think you went to the most questions in preparation before any guest I've ever had in the show. So congratulations for that.
Well, I like to be prepared and understand what it's all about. So
this Kate Smith thing I talked about in the open here is interesting to me, and I saw you tweet about it over the weekend. I guess first of my question is, do you agree with the removal of the statue and the basically the, for a better use of a word, whitewashing of Kate Smith from history?
I think I do, and that wasn't the original purpose of my tweet. I was commenting more on how people don't really own what they say, especially when it comes to racism. They'll invent word jumbles like racially insensitive instead of just saying racist, if that's what they're intending. So I really had to think about that after we were in touch, and I think I do agree. Sports are pretty much one of the only things unifying us right now. And you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube in terms of people becoming aware of the Kate Smith song. So I have to think that it was probably a smart move.
So I guess we just disagree, because I just think it's nuts. And I'll lay it out for you. So she sang a song that she didn't write, whatever, 80, 90 years ago.
Right.
Something that was satirical, by the way. Black people have sung that song. Da-da-da. She did a lot during World War II. We have no proof at all in the past that she's a racist. So we decide then to just remove it because 80 or 90 years ago, she did something that was fairly commonplace then. So I guess when you do that, right, when you do that, like, where does it end? Like, what's the tipping point? Like, what is accomplished by doing this?
So I thought a lot about that as well. Obviously, it wouldn't be a stretch to think that a white person in the 1930s is racist. I mean, our country's policies were racist. So I think what the issue is, where do you draw the line, is I think when the behavior or the incident is incompatible with who the person purports to be or what the person stands for, then it's reasonable to remove the person or remove the person's work.
What is she? What is she purporting? So here's my issue already, right here. And believe me, I'll give you plenty of time. You're basically saying Kate Smith's racist.
Well, I don't know Kate Smith, but
that's what I mean. But now it's forever Kate Smith racist.
By today's standards, yes.
But that seems so crazy to me to just say, okay, she's a racist. Let's get rid of all the work she's ever done. Let's remove the statue. Let's take away from Yankee Stadium. Let's take her away from Philadelphia, just because 80 years ago she did this and she doesn't have her chance to make her case, to make her statement. Now you want to talk about, you know, you pick a known, no doubt, proven racist in history. You want to have that conversation? Fine. But Kate Smith, who sang a song that she didn't even write? This to me is like when the left goes way overboard and the right gets their chance to pounce. I'm no fan of the extreme right either, but this is when the extreme left does something this bombastic and this over the top. It allows the other side to point their fingers and say, see, here's the problem in the world.
I think, though, that what she was standing for the sports team and for, you know, with her God Bless America was unity. And at the point where that song surfaced, and the lyrics by today's standards are completely unacceptable,
Totally
outrageous.
Totally.
I think at that point, you can't undo the shock that people would have to hear those words and hear her singing the song.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, how many people who go, let's just say, this came out, and I think, I don't know if you agree or not, but this is one of my themes, is I think we're in like a Twitter bubble, which is that sometimes we think everyone pays attention to the stuff that we talk about on Twitter. Let's just say Kate Smith, this thing comes out on Twitter as a news story for a day or two. She used to sing these lyrics. 3 years from now, people go to a Flyers game or a Yankees game, 97% of them won't even know it ever happened. Like, they're not going to be listening to the song and be affected by it.
But I think since the lyrics were so outrageous.
And yeah, but she didn't sing them a week ago.
Right, she sang them a long time ago, but I think part of the problem is there's still racism in our country today. 1930s, you say 80 years ago, but there's certain factors and societal realities in the United States today in 2019 that make 1930 sometimes feel recent. So I think if everybody's going to be comfortable at a sporting event, at this point, the God Bless America song is something everybody could get behind and everybody could have that moment where it doesn't matter if you're a Trump supporter, it doesn't matter if you're socialist, you're at that event and you're feeling really good and everybody's there and having something to unite them. I think what happened with the songs surfacing on YouTube is that now that becomes a point of controversy. So I think if you're going to maintain the spirit of having something unifying during the game, then they didn't have a choice but to remove that.
Well, they had a choice, but they chose to give in. Not specifically, I'm asking your actual address. What state do you live in?
Oh, I'm in Virginia, and I will tell you this. The KKK recruits in my town. We have flyer drops here.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The KKK recruits in your town? They send mail to you?
Yes, they have flyer drops. I'm in Virginia.
They said they have a mailing program?
They drop flyers in bags on people's driveways.
So you've gotten those?
I haven't, but I've seen them. I've seen them downtown. Yes.
Uh-huh. You see them downtown. But let's just say you lived let's say you lived in Washington, D.C. or Washington.
I can imagine.
Yes, well, hold on.
I was there until 2012.
Okay. So, or you lived in Washington State. So Kate Smith sang a song somebody else wrote that some say is satirical anyway. So fine. If you lived in the state of Washington, which was named after a man who you know actually owned slaves, and if you read the book, it was a book that Own the Judge was the name of the slave. I forget the author who wrote it. I read this book a couple of years ago called Runaway Slave. And George Washington and Martha Washington spent years and money hunting down an escaped slave of theirs to try and bring them back to slavery. I mean, when is it then? Why don't we take Washington off of Mount Rushmore? Why don't we remove the dollar bill? Why don't we take away the name of the state of Washington? Washington, D.C., all the high schools, all the towns, all the street addresses. What about Benjamin Franklin? What about Thomas Jefferson, who raped slaves? I mean, you know, why isn't this happening? Like, you know, why is Kate Smith more offensive than that?
Well, I think the problem was that you had something on YouTube and you'd mentioned social media. Things blow up, things go viral. It's impossible to undo the shock of hearing those words. And to be at a sporting event and know that the same person singing God Bless America also sang something.
Okay, but hold on. You're a teacher as well, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You're a teacher as well, correct?
Yeah, I am.
So
yeah.
Would you teach at George Washington University right now if that was the name of the school?
Would I teach there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I live in a... I pay taxes to a town that has a monument to every Confederate soldier.
Well, how do you reconcile that? I mean, you know, why aren't you protesting against that? I mean, why aren't we bringing down every actor who's ever been in blackface or any actor who's ever played... You know, I just feel like right now, if Hillary Clinton had won the election 2.5 years ago, this statue would still be up. I feel like this is Trump residue. I feel like this is Trump anger being moved somewhere else.
I think there's a lot of anger. And the statue, I think, was a business move on the part of the sports team because they want to make sure all of their customers are comfortable during the game.
Yeah, but possible. I'm looking at the polls here, though. Go ahead, Danny. Finish up.
As a presence.
No. So I'm looking at polls here. Clay Travis, yeah, who's a pretty big sports name, had a poll. Lots of votes. 96% disagree with the move. If you ask most Americans, they would disagree with the removal of the statue. So you're not giving the majority of people what they want. You're giving sort of the extreme one side who's trying to make something out of, I think, nothing, what they want. Like, I watched the Kate Smith thing, and I agree. I mean, you would never get away with that now. But isn't there room in the conversation to say this was X amount of years ago? Is there no place for that whatsoever?
So one thing I think about a lot is let's say you and I, we're going to sit down, we're going to write the rule book on what's okay, what's not okay.
I guess.
Who gets silenced, who doesn't.
Sure.
I live in Virginia. Our governor was in blackface in the 80s. So we're not even talking about 1930s.
Right.
Because Kate Smith got her career in a minstrel show and in blackface. And I've seen that mentioned as well. So we have a governor here in the state that I live in, mm-hmm, who was wearing blackface and admitted to that relatively recently. So I agree, what is the standard and how are we going to react and handle these cases? But I think one thing that is completely lost in the discussion most of the time, even among liberal people and social justice people on Twitter, is you have these causes that go viral and people rally around them and people think it's enough to tweet or maybe tweet a couple times, retweet, talk about it, and then there's no substantive action to get rid of the underlying scourge, which in this case would be racism. So we're not going to solve problems by playing whack-a-mole with manifestations of a big problem in our society. So to some extent, it's not consistent because there's too many instances of it, and there's no way that you could create some logical, rational plan where everything's going to be consistent. And I think something that is really lost in this is people become outraged over these incidents and don't do as much. What if they put all of their energy into actually doing concrete things to fight racism and make sure that our society is more equitable?
Well, that's what I mean. So, I don't think this is, in my opinion, we may disagree, I don't think this is fighting racism. I just don't think it is.
It's not substantive, but
no,
it's a palpable reminder. At this point, it's become a symbol for whatever period of time this will endure. It's become a symbol of racism. It's a reminder that of our country's history where, wow, in our country, this was acceptable in 1930. And things still happen today and every single day that are the same fruit of that just racist tree. So I think it's become a symbol, but I also think from the sports team's perspective, they have a wide client base, a wide fan base, and during a time where sports are really one of the few things that unify us, Kate Smith has become a lightning rod, and that's something that undermines an important role that sports serve in our country today.
What about the idea, and I've read it, and I'm not sure I disagree with it, that Paul Robeson, is that how you pronounce his name?
I think it's Robeson.
Robeson, correct. Sorry, I'm sorry. Paul Robeson, you know, recorded the song. He recorded the song with Kate Smith, by the way, and you know, I've read where he thought the song was clearly satirical. I mean, is there something for that?
I've seen that all over Twitter. People have been tweeting that at me. The source on that is Wikipedia. So I researched that, and there are many different views on the song. One that I think could be credible in terms of the African-American musician is that it was a song that highlighted and made visible the oppression of African-American people, where here's our plight, here's what we were born for. And I could find that plausible in addition to it being satirical. I do not see anything, I've not read anything, that Kate Smith sang that as satire. And she also had a second song, the one she sang about the African-American children in the orphanage, that was extremely disturbing. But again, we're talking about the 1930s. I don't think there's any question that the lyrics to the song are shocking and upsetting in 2019. And I don't think there's any question that racism affects a lot of people in our country. So, I mean, I think that's sort of where... How did they receive this in the 1930s? Well, there were Jim Crow laws in the 1930s, so we can't use that same standard.
But I mean, how about the idea that? And I did a lot of research over the weekend on this before I had you on today. There is not a—I mean, other than these songs, which again she did not write, and I don't think really, as you said at the time, thought about them as racist, even though they were. Like, there's no proof in Kate Smith's history from stuff I've read, and I read a lot this weekend, far more than Wikipedia, that would suggest she's a racist. It just troubles me as somebody who's been sort of in the middle of these battles before and kind of a lightning rod. I hate when people get branded with something, with some kind of, you know, title without earning it, especially with something terrible like this. Like, you know, this is a woman who lived a life, you know, made some mistakes, and now is sort of, you know, whether it's the first paragraph or second paragraph now, you know, will forever be known as a racist. And it just seems really unfair.
She also spoke out against racism.
Correct.
I mean, she spoke out against race hatred, social prejudice, religious bigotry, and she said they're not going to be exterminated at a conference table in Geneva. They're going to be eliminated in your own city, your own church, your own home. So, I mean, she was, I think, a symbol of unity, especially with God Bless America, and I think that's why the decision is somewhat understandable, because I think that at the point where what she stood for has been undermined, then it's no longer, it's become divisive. It's almost done a 180, where this meaningful event at the sporting event or during the game is something everybody can get behind, and now because of what surfaced, that's become actually something that could the exact opposite, something extremely divisive. And I think, you know, just thinking, I don't know how old you are. I'm 41, but I had a unibrow for a really long time. It's a stupid analogy, but there's no evidence of that on social media. I've said dumb things. I've thought stupid things. I've said mean things and done mean things. We were doing this via note, like we were passing notes. So I think, obviously, social media, things like YouTube, it's a game changer. And you'd mentioned before, I mean, Kate Smith is dead, so she can't speak for herself, and she's not able to, you know, there's just this snapshot of this incredibly racist song, and that's what people are reacting to right now.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think we're at the point now where, you know, one side in particular, I think, because they have anger about other stuff, want to wipe things out from history. And you're a teacher. I just think it's dangerous. I think it's more interesting to say, okay, here's Kate Smith. Here's the song. We're going to keep playing it. Here's some mistakes she made, but here's also some good things she did. She was a complicated person. She had flaws like we all had. And here's the song. Like, I don't think for a minute and a half in a game, anyone's going to say, boy, you know what? I can't listen to this song because 80 years ago, she recorded somebody else's song. It just seems so, it seems like a $5,000 crime for a sentence for a $5 crime. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, another thing I thought was interesting is there is a fairly recent opinion piece about monuments just city monuments. And she was mentioned as one, oh, it's great to have a monument of a woman, because if you think of monuments when you right. walk around, they're mostly mm-hmm. white men. And that was very recent. This information has been available for a long time. I've read scholarship and articles that mention a movie in which she sang a very racist song, you know, the orphanage scene, and that's not mentioned. It's just mentioned this was a movie, and here's some information about it, and here's what it signified. Nobody has been mentioning this, and it's been publicly available. So in a way, there's been an incomplete accounting of Kate Smith, where they could have factored this information in a long time ago. And that's where I think, you know, social media comes into play, because something can surface and become really, really, really important and critical overnight. When Kate Smith has, you know, like we've been talking about, 8 decades we've had to evaluate Kate Smith and learn about Kate Smith. So I think it's important that activism on any level or advocacy on any level is undergirded by, it's not just words, that you're also doing something to solve the underlying problems instead of reacting in a way that's good for business or makes you, you know, there's this sort of performative wokeness sometimes. Oh, look at me, I'm going to speak out against this issue, but guess what, I'm only going to speak out about it, and if it's happening in my community, I'm not going to do anything inconvenient or make a personal sacrifice to change it.
Yeah, I just, you know, yes, but I just, I look at it, you know, so I guess my question is, I might have asked it earlier, is so we get rid of the Kate Smith statue, we get rid of the songs, we get rid of this statue celebrating this Confederate guy, which to me, I'd keep, and I'd say this is part of history. He was on the wrong side of history. Here's the conversation. I'd keep it because I think it's part of history. I guess what's accomplished by removing this stuff? That's the thing I don't understand. I think what's gained by keeping it is a conversation. When you get rid of it, you eliminate that conversation.
Again, I think it speaks. It's the context.
Do you disagree with that?
So
or?
I think when the purpose of Kate Smith was, it's not entertainment, oh, we're all going to go to a Kate Smith film fest and watch her movies and talk about them afterwards. I mean, the context is a type of event where everybody, I mean, there's nothing like going to a live sporting event. You're up in Boston, you're probably going to hang up on me, but my husband and I are Steelers fans, and we go to Heinz Field. I mean, there's nothing like it. You sit next to people. I mean, there's just this real sense that, you know, 90% of people in the stadium, unless you're like a Redskins fan or something, and then it's like 50%. But you're all there supporting the same exact team at the same time. And I think that that's where the context of this, where the Kate Smith and what she's standing for at this moment with the extremely racist song she sang, is not compatible with what sports are supposed to be in our society right
okay,
now.
Okay, so let's say that today a bunch of a powerful gay activism group, whatever, you know, pick your group right now, and they're powerful and they're making their noise, and that's great. I think that's great. Let's say they talk about, you know, Martin Luther King's Ebony magazine interview in 1958, when he told a young gay student at Stanford University, who was starting to have feelings that he had about boys, that he should go see a psychiatrist to bring him back to the experience that led him to as a child and move away from homosexuality toward a solution, is what he called it. If that gay group started doing that, would you lead the charge to boycott MLK Day and all the boulevards and all the statues? Would you be leading that as well? Because times have changed, but these are horrible thoughts 60 years ago.
No, I wouldn't, but Virginia still allows conversion therapy, so I would be advocating strongly against that.
Well, that's not what I asked, though. I mean, so, you know, that's what he said. And by the way, he was a great and complicated man like everyone else who made mistakes in 1958, like Kate Smith 30 years before that, did something that by today's standards looks absolutely ridiculous and hateful and close-minded, like she did. Why wouldn't the punishment be the same for him as it would be for her in death?
Because of what I said about Kate's role at the sporting event.
But, so, I mean, they play.
I think it's the context.
Well, how about if they play the night I Have a Dream speech before a game?
Scholarship on Kate Smith. You know, it's not going to say, oh, hey, we're not going to talk about Kate Smith anymore. Nobody's going to research Kate Smith. But, I mean, that could be part of a discussion, as you said.
Oh, Kate Smith Kate Smith is done. You know that. She's done. She's buried. She's no longer. She's now branded and gone. It'll never be the pack that likes to make these things happen. They'll now move on to ruin somebody else's legacy. You know that. The Kate Smith conversation now is over. There's got the other side, if the defense of Kate Smith will not be made.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't. I mean, I think our family was speaking out a little bit, but I don't think.
And that strikes you as fair? That seems fair to you?
Something like this, and she's dead. Whereas we have Northam, who was in blackface in the 80s, and he's still governor. So there is a different standard. And going back to my theory of, you know, what kind of rule book are you going to make? Who gets away with what? And who still gets to maintain some type of legacy? And who doesn't? And those rules are always shifting.
Well, I'd say that when Kate Smith recorded that, I'll at least say there's a chance that she didn't really realize, the given the time she was in, how bad it was that she was recording. Northam in the 80s, I was like growing up in the 80s, so were you. We knew that was wrong. Like, that's not even debatable.
Right?
I mean,
exactly.
But yet he remains governor.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so
that's
I don't,
my point. I mean, there's different standards. There's not a consistent way of applying these types of things. On the other hand, I mean, you keep talking about how long ago the 1930s were. I mean, I mentioned earlier the KKK recruits in my town. There are schools that, I mean, segregation in schools is supposed to be over, but many schools have de facto segregation, or inside of a school, white children are getting a different kind of education than students of color. So we still have a lot of the same injustices that were, you know, commonplace.
But you can see that there has been, I mean,
I think
there's
that's
been.
That's why it's really important not to dismiss this as some racist anomaly from 80 years ago when these realities still play out today. And
well,
I think that's
you would agree. I mean, we can at least come to some agreement. There's been real progress in the last 90 years, though, no?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
You know, I mean, black and white people can get married in every state. You know, they can drink from the same water fountain. They can swim in the same pools. You know, they can go to the same schools. I agree. Look, we're never going to get to where everyone wants to get. But, you know, if somebody like, I don't know, I don't even know who the Kate Smith equivalent is in 2019. Let's just pick a singer. Let's just say it's Taylor Swift for the hell of it. If she sang that song today, her career would be over in 30 seconds.
Absolutely.
Right.
Definitely.
Correctly so, but yeah. So I mean, I don't know. You just to bring us back to the start, you think it's a good idea that the statue is covered up and removed and that she's not allowed, the songs are no longer going to be played at these stadiums?
I think so, but I also would hope that this would be accompanied by something a little bit deeper and less symbolic, because as somebody who does a lot of activism, that's exhausting, and it involves more than just putting out words on Twitter. One thing that I am getting a little bit tired of is the performative aspect of some of these, the flash in the pan activism, where you're going to tweet something out, it's going to go viral, you're doing this from your sofa, and you're not going to get out and talk to people and identify areas for change and really work hard to make a difference. So I think, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of activists on Twitter need to think about. What are you actually doing besides tweeting to make a difference? Because the reason this is so painful and so hurtful for people is because racism still exists and affects a large number of people in our country.
All right, Danny. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And I did not hear the dogs once, by the way.
I know. Well, I was in my closet during this time, so we could have a nice, quiet conversation about an interesting topic. So thanks for including me.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.